Amen. Well, we are certainly praying for Carla and Cody and Kayla, for Lyle and Cynthia, and for BW and Carlene, Todd, and Connie, Blake, and so many others now who are mourning the loss of Mark. It seemed like, I'm not sure if this is the case or not, but Alan was singing those songs just a little bit faster, maybe in honor of Mark, you know, keeping that tempo going. We also celebrate with the Webb family. On Tuesday, they welcomed Cooper into the world, and so we're certainly excited about that and are experiencing joy on your behalf because of that. And isn't it interesting how life works like that? So on Tuesday, welcoming Cooper into the world, on Wednesday, saying goodbye to Mark, at least in this portion of life. We're going to be in John 11 this morning. The passage will not be on the screen, so you'll need to open up your Bibles or find it on your smartphone or your tablet, whatever the case may be. John 11, starting at verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who had poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it's for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Hold on to that statement by Jesus right there. Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." Skipping down now to verse 17. On his arrival to Judea, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Maybe Mary just wasn't quite ready to go welcome Jesus at this point. Verse 21, "Lord," Martha says to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Start to see the faith of Martha here at work. Verse 23, Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Of course, as we've talked about before, in the Gospel of John, we have 7 different "I am" statements offered by Jesus. And when Jesus shares these statements about who he is, he's offering us insight into his identity and mission. So, these are self-disclosure, self-proclamation about who he is. And as we've said so many times, that when you recognize who Jesus is, you're also saying something about who you are in relationship to Jesus. Recognizing, knowing Jesus demands some kind of response from us. He is the Lord. How are we going to respond? Are we going to recognize him as such and live obediently to him? Are we going to choose to turn our backs to him? It may be that we just want to ponder him for a while. But based on the claims that he's making about himself, just like here in John 11, that he is the resurrection and the life, when somebody makes that sort of claim about themselves, we need to choose whether we're going to believe it or not. So Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And he even asked the question to Martha, but also to Mary, to the other disciples, and to us. Do you believe it? She says, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Don't miss the force of this confession made by this faithful woman. Verse 28, after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and he is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. We know that Mary knows Jesus well. In fact, this is the Mary who had before gotten on her hands and her knees, poured perfume on Jesus' feet, and actually wiped Jesus' feet with her own hair. She recognized Jesus. And I don't mean just recognize and could point him out in a crowd, but she recognized who he was. She understood his claims, and she believed them. She knows Jesus. And perhaps even more so because she knows Jesus, we can empathize with her frustration here. Jesus, if you had been here, if you really loved Lazarus like you claim to love him, then you would have gotten here a few days earlier. My brother would not have died. We've made claims like this before. Perhaps we haven't verbalized them, but we certainly thought them. Lord, if you were here, my friend or my brother or my father or my sister would not have died of cancer. Lord, if you would have been here, my child wouldn't be hurting like he or she is right now. Lord, if you were here, my marriage wouldn't be on the rocks like it currently is. Lord, if you were here, Lord, if you were here, that I wouldn't feel as lonely as I feel right now in this moment. Lord, if you really were here, I'd have my life a little bit more figured out than I do, because you could tell me how to get it figured out if you were here. So we empathize with Mary and her frustration here. Imagine saying that face to face with Jesus, the one who had just previously claimed that he was the resurrection and life. Imagine saying that to his face. Lord, if you were here. But I believe it's a statement made out of deep faith, recognizing the power of Jesus. So it says here, verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. And then verse 35, Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. It's such an interesting response from Jesus here in this moment. Jesus, we have to believe, knew what he had come to do, to raise Lazarus from the dead. Yet when he sees these folks hurting, he hurts right alongside them. And we're told in verse 35 that he wept. I remember Mrs. Hutchinson's Bible class. We had to memorize verses. You had to come on Wednesday nights ready with a verse. After a while, she told me, you can't use John 11:35 anymore. You all have been there before. I know it, right? Jesus wept. But in truth, if there's any passage to memorize in Scripture, this really isn't a bad one to have in your minds. Jesus wept. He's there for her. Jesus feels different emotions, right? He's happy at times. You have to imagine as he's hanging out with Peter, Andrew, James, and John, maybe they're having a great day fishing or just on their journeys. You have to imagine that at some point, Peter or one of the other disciples cracked a joke and maybe Jesus laughed a little bit. You have to imagine that as he's hanging out with those kids and teaching about the kingdom, that he was laughing and smiling and enjoying the moments. We know he got angry at times. The temple, he's angry, knocking those tables over, holding on to a whip. Even with the disciples, I believe at times he was angry. Why are you not getting the truth of what I'm teaching you in this moment? Jesus is happy at times. He's angry at times. And in this moment, he's sad. That's what he is. He's hurting right along with them. There are tears coming down his cheeks. Have you ever imagined our Savior this way? Weeping, tears coming down his cheeks. Perhaps even making noise as he's crying. It had to make an impact. Notice what they said. See how he loved? See how he loved him? And so Jesus, knowing what he is going to do, I believe knowing that he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead, yet in this moment, he empathizes with these folks. He feels the kind of emotion that they are feeling. Of course, demonstrating his humanity, but I think also demonstrating the heart of the Father. Remember that Jesus said to the disciples, when you see me, you see the Father as well. Verse 37 now back in John 11. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Two observations. The first is this. Through Jesus, we have eternal life. It's really simple. Through Jesus, through the one who had claimed to be the resurrection and the life, we have eternal life. Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me will live even though they die. Again, you'd wonder about these onlookers, if we could kind of put ourselves in this moment. Yeah, right, Jesus. This guy has lost his mind, perhaps they were thinking. Maybe some of the Jews were thinking, does he not know that only the God that we worship and serve has the power to make these kind of claims? What was Jesus saying about himself in this moment? Or, fast forward a little bit, what are the onlookers thinking when they, in fact, see Lazarus come out of that tomb? What do they think about Jesus in this moment? What do they think about Jesus' power over death? Through Jesus, death was conquered. I don't believe that the truth that Jesus conquers death, I don't think it makes all of life super easy. We live in a complex, very complicated world. We live in a broken world. Loneliness, it does hit us like a ton of bricks at times. Our hearts do break because of the loss of loved ones. We're feeling that right now. Many of us are. We become tense because of the stress of life. In some ways, even this time of year brings on that stress more so than other times. As stores get busier and the roads seem to get busier and drivers oftentimes seem to get angrier for whatever reason. Perhaps it's even hard for some of us to breathe when we hear about tragedy. But through all of this, we do remember what Jesus claimed to be true about himself. Mary and Martha agreed to that he is, in fact, the resurrection and the life. And this life is only a tiny dot compared to eternity. Jesus said, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus did. Jesus, as he weeps with Mary and the others who were there at the tomb, we learn something about God. First of all, of course, Jesus is the pathway to eternal life. But also, we learn that God is with us in the sorrow and pain that we feel. He knows us. He understands us. Our God is not distant and out of touch. No, the picture of God that we get here in John 11 is a God who is with us, who feels our pain, who understands us, who empathizes with us. He doesn't leave us alone or to our own devices. Our Creator gets his created children. We experience this presence of God, this, as I've heard it called before, this withness of God. We experience it in many ways, two particular ways, through prayer. We can pour out our hearts to God in prayer. He hears us when we pray. This is what we see in the Psalms. Think of some of the words, the phrases in the Psalms. Think of like Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaking me? Or Psalm 13, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Or Psalm 61, hear my cry, O God, I call on you as my heart grows faint. These are the prayers, the faithful community of God pouring out their hearts to God. They're honest with God, yelling at God, pleading with him. And in it all, God hears them and is faithful to their prayers as they place their trust in him. And we can do the same. How long, God? Where are you, God? Will you forget me forever? Of course, the answer is a resounding no. I'm with you. I hear you. And I care for you. So one of the ways we experience the presence of God, the witness of God, is through prayer. Another way is through his people. For instance, with the Welty family right now, the way that they experience the presence of God is through you. It's through us. We have the gift, the privilege, the opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus, ministering to people in need, not only those within our community of faith, but also those in the wider community, the opportunity to demonstrate in tangible ways the love and presence of our Savior. In times of joy, in the times of pain, God uses his people as a vehicle of his presence. The hugs, the words of encouragement, words of comfort, the power of someone simply being there, I believe, is God at work and his people helping them through challenging times. And as a church, it's just imperative that we remember this at this time. You have the privilege of being the hands and feet of Jesus for those who need to feel his presence right now. Jesus said in verse 25 in John 11, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? So after Jesus said that he's the resurrection and the life, in other words, he is our hope, he asked Martha, do you believe this? Now, I think he asked all of us this question in one form or another. Jesus makes the claim, and then we have to respond. Do you believe this? Well, do you? I believe if Mark, our brother, were here today, I believe he would say, yes, I believe it. And then he would simply make this statement, believe it. Believe it. It makes all the difference. If there's anybody here today that needs the prayers of the church family, we're here to pray with you and for you. Alan's going to lead us in an invitation song. You can come forward. Let us know what's on your heart. We'd be glad to pray with you. If anybody here today is ready to make the same confession that Martha made, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. We would love to witness you make that statement of faith today and then give your life over to him in baptism. So whatever need that you have, you can come forward now as we stand and continue to worship our God.